The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Hi, Dr. Ray. I love your show.
Let me show you what it looks like to be a holy person, and maybe you'll want to be holy like me.
You just patted yourself on the back.
You seem like an honest guy.
But you're a psychologist. Do you have some advice?
I don't know. I'm not going to tell you what to do.
You're my second favorite Italian person.
I think you have a way of making people feel relaxed.
She needs to feel the consequences of being a jerk.
You know, I was looking for a deeper answer.
Obviously, I'm a failure. Obviously, I'm inept.
Yes. You are awesome. Keep up the good fight, my friend.
Now, from the studios of Living Bread Radio Network in Canton, Ohio, the hometown of Mother Angelica, here's Dr. Ray.
Whole bunch of quick items of business before we even jump into the program. At my age, I can still jump into the program. I'm getting to the point where I have to walk into the program. Dr. Ray Garendi here. Thanks for joining me. A couple of things. Yesterday, the internet gave us some problems. As a result, there were musicals playing during my program. I don't mind that. That's not a problem. What really was a problem, and this hurt me probably more than I can say, is that I got an avalanche of email, not saying "Where are you? We miss you." No. It was saying, the music made me feel so much better in my life. The music made me find ways to solve my problems. The music settled me down. I lost to the music. I think the score was 74-2, something like that. I don't know exactly what it was. But anyway, no music today. So Dr. Ray here. You can call in on the number 877-573-7825. I know people were calling in yesterday making musical requests. Yes, can you play Amazing Grace? Oh, that really was a blow to my delicate ego. 877-57-EQUAL is the number to call to get onto the program. I'm a psychologist. I was at the office this morning, and I'll be at the office this afternoon. But here on the radio, this is not the office thing. This is educational thing. Hopefully give a few ideas, a few pieces of direction, or sometimes to make you feel very competent in yourself because I didn't give you anything all that good. Still be grateful to hear from you. 877-573-7825 to co-opt a line, a great line from the movie The Christmas Story, which was filmed in Cleveland. Those of you, this rock, AM 1260, I believe we went there last year, the house that was used for the filming of The Christmas Story. At one point, I think it was Ralphie, who said he was Double Dog Dare. Now that you can ignore, but the Triple Dog Dare you can't. So I will Triple Dog Dare you to call me. No reverses, no take backs. Women are not bludgeoned by the Triple Dog Dare. They could care less. Women react to the Triple Dog Dare like they react to the Three Stooges. What? Oh, that's ridiculous. That's not even funny. Guys, on the other hand, not only try to imitate the Three Stooges, but if you Triple Dog Dare a guy, he's got to do it. I Triple Dog Dare you to jump off that cliff into a bucket of water feet first. Where's the cliff? It's Triple Dog Dare. And I've already noticed there's a guy already calling in. He has to. 877-57-EQUAL is the number to call to get onto the program. Now, as we are moving toward the holiday season, I'm probably going to give some radio nod to those folks who are calling in with questions about dealing. This is kind of a commentary on the fallen human condition, that the holidays are stressful for a lot of people. The holidays are situations that make us relieve them when they're gone. How do we do this? Oh, gosh. By the way, I was really upset. I went to the post office yesterday. Oh, they had racks and racks and racks and racks and racks of Christmas cards. Shouldn't call them Christmas cards. Xmas cards. There wasn't one whiff, one nod, one anything that even remotely suggested the history of this particular time of year, if you know what I mean. Nothing. Dr. Ray, that's a government agency. So what? This is the biggest misunderstanding that somehow, some way, the public square has to be scrubbed clean of any kind of religious nod, or somehow that is a support, that is a celebration of religion. Oh man, there were all kinds of snowmen, reindeer, houses, Santa. Our Lord wasn't anywhere in sight. That just, never mind. Don't get me started. All right, what else do I want to say? Couple of points here, guys. I don't know how to wrap gifts. I just do not know how to wrap gifts. It's terrifying, okay? The three wise men went to see our Lord, and according to the book of Matthew, quote, presented him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Simple words. But if you look into them a little more deeply, a little more theologically, there is no mention of wrapping paper. That's right. Joseph was going to throw it away if there was. You know, Matthew would have said so. And lo, the gifts were inside 600 square cubits of paper. Joseph was going to throw it away, but Mary said, hold it. This is nice paper. Save it for next year. And the little Jesus was more interested in the paper than in the frankincense. We're not big gift wrappers. That's part of men. We don't understand the point of putting paper on a gift just so somebody could tear it off. This isn't my opinion. This is a scientific fact based on a statistical survey of two guys I know. One is my friend Rob, who said the only time he ever wraps a gift is if it's such a poor gift he doesn't want to be there when a person opens it. But the other one is Gene, who told me he does wrap gifts, but as a matter of principle, never takes more than 15 seconds per gift. You know, my kids noticed this when they were growing up. Nobody ever had to wonder which present Daddy wrapped at Christmas. The ones that I wrap were the ones that look like enormous spitballs. I try, but I have some defect in my fine motor skills. I can never completely wrap a gift. I can take a gift the size of a deck of cards. I can put it in the exact center of wrapping paper that's the size of a tennis court. And when I'm done folding and taping, you can still see part of the gift peeking out. Sometimes I'll just kind of take a marking pen and I'll sort of scribble over the gift. If I'd been working in the ancient Egyptian field of mummies and I had to do all that, the lower half of Pharaoh's body would be covered by scotch tape. On the other hand, if you give my wife a 12-inch square of wrapping paper, she can wrap a C-130 cargo plane. My wife actually likes wrapping gifts. If she gives you a gift that requires batteries, I bought some batteries last year. They weren't included. She'll wrap the batteries separately. Oh, well, it's like one of those skills that women have that men don't. So, a few gift wrapping tips for men. Whenever possible, buy gifts that are already wrapped. Now, that means you don't know what's in them. But when the recipient opens a gift, neither one of you recognizes it, you can always claim it's myrrh. If you have a hard-to-wrap gift, you know the ones that are just all different odd shapes, skip the wrapping paper. Put it inside a bag and stick it in one of those little adhesive bows, you know, put on that. Now, that makes it look pretty good. And it's kind of like an avant-garde sort of thing. And, of course, this happened 2 years ago. My wife said to me, why is there a hefty trash bag under the tree? I said, honey, it's your gift. See? It has a bow. And she said, as she looked into the bag, it's a leaf blower. I said, it's gas-powered, 5 horsepower. She said, Raymond, I said, I also got you some chocolates. All righty. Just a few tips. Anything else here? Oh, yes. In conclusion, the important thing is not necessarily what you give as a gift or how you wrap it. The really important thing during this time of gift giving, save the receipt. That's big. You know what my mom did one year? This is true. I'm not making this up. My mom was so concerned about being totally fair, totally equitable. At the end of all the gifts, she hands me this little box, looks like the kind of thing that would hold a wallet. I opened it up and had a check. The check was for some amount, some odd amount, something like $7.82. Ma, what's this? I'm not making this up. Those of you who have 100% Italian mothers, you know this. She said, I didn't spend as much on your family's gifts as I did on the other families. And I said, that's because you liked it better. So I made it even. And I wanted to tell my sister, hey, why didn't you tell mom that this stuff was worth like $700? I at least would have got a check for $260 rather than $7.82. 877-573-7825 is the number to call to get onto the program. 877-57-EQUAL. I'm Dr. Ray, wrapping it up.
Call now for great advice from Dr. Ray. Now, don't you feel better?
Solidarity HealthShare began out of the Christian tradition of neighbor helping neighbor. They're a nonprofit medical cost-sharing ministry in which their members share in each other's eligible medical expenses. Solidarity HealthShare is not insurance, but rather an alternative way to pay for medical costs that adheres to the teachings of the Catholic Church. They'll never share in a medical care that goes against their values and morals, such as abortion, contraception, and sterilization. More information available at SolidarityHealthShare.org or at 844-313-4999.
Hi, I'm Al Cresta. The Catholic faith has enemies. We're Catholics. We have enemies. They are a danger to the faith. And yet we're called to defend the faith, to instruct the ignorant, and to love our enemies. These enemies abuse divine revelation, they abuse science and religion, they abuse our history and our past, they abuse power and wealth. We have to learn how to deal with our enemies by picking up a copy of my book, Dangers to the Faith. You can find it online at AveMariaRadio.net.
Started drinking beer on Saturday nights, sleeping in on Sunday mornings, missing Mass, and then it just became a pattern and continued. Without God, I don't know where I'd be right now. I know the importance of the Eucharist. I know the importance of the sacraments that I didn't know at a young age. I follow God's will because my desire is to get to heaven. Our lives are rich and full by being members of the church.
If you've been away from the Catholic Church, visit CatholicsComeHome.org.
Would you get on a plane that doesn't have a pilot? Investing in passive index mutual funds may present the same issue. The Ave Maria mutual funds are actively managed by seasoned investment professionals to help you meet your investment goals in a morally responsible way. Ave Maria funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors could invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual fund. You can learn more about the Ave Maria mutual funds at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Dr. Ray Guarendi, striving to be an ultra-sensitive post-Y2K man. Self-aware, connecting, sharing, emotive. Androgen American. Oh, I like that jazz. See, when I hear something like that, I just want to be able to play like that. Good to have you with me. Let's jump on the calls here. We have an anonymous caller from Texas. She's trying to figure it out, which is a good way to put it, if she should confront her cousin's husband. So her cousin is a female, and the husband is making some inappropriate comments. Hi, anonymous caller.
Hi.
What kind of comments? You don't have to say the comments, but...
Well, not
can you...
comments. It's actually not comments. He's making inappropriate advances to me. And he's made to my other members of our family, like to my cousin's siblings. And So he has a history of this, and we've confronted him about it about 6 years ago because we also found he was taking videos of us in the bathroom.
What?
So, yeah, and I found the video, and I'm the one who told my cousin about it, and after that he went to therapy because I guess he blamed it on, you know, issues, things that happened to him in his childhood is why he's like that, he said. So he went to therapy for a while, and then he stopped going, and then everything seemed to be okay, but now it's like he's starting to do little things now, like try to touch our legs under the table.
Little things, huh? Like grabbing you.
Well, yeah, I guess, yeah. And so we're all like, the thing is that we love him because he's always been very helpful and generous to everybody, but then he has this problem, he has this issue, and we love my cousin, and we don't know how to, you know, confront it because it's like his problem is coming back, you know, like maybe he's relapsing.
When you say you don't know how to confront it, I don't know if there is some how to confront it in the sense that you just say, what are you doing? Knock it off or you can't come around.
But do we tell my cousin hurt about it so that maybe they can work it out and go back to therapy? I don't know. We're not trying to destroy their marriage, but we don't want to be. We love our cousin, and she's always the one that makes all the I'm the only child, so she's like a sister to me. And every time we have family get-togethers, holidays, it's always with her, at her house, or, you know, she's always, it's frequent. And so
I probably would suggest you take him aside and you say, if this happens anymore, at all, remotely, we're not coming. And you will be left to explain to your wife why. And then if she calls us, we'll tell her why.
Okay.
That's what I would do. And there's no book written that says there's a formulaic way to handle this. Got to use judgment and common sense. But I'm sure this is no surprise to her. I'm sure she's been living with this for years, right?
Well, yeah, but she does believe that he's cured, I guess you could say.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Well, I think is he doing this to you and others?
Yes.
You have teenage girls?
Well, me and one other cousin that I know of, a female.
Do,
mm-hmm.
do you have females as your children?
Yes, I do.
And that scare you?
Yes, it does.
Okay. It probably should.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this may be something this is just, he's kind of forcing you to deal with this head on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you say, gee, but otherwise he's a good guy. I really love my cousin. And otherwise, you know, we all just have a good time. Well, yeah, but the problem is, you know, it's like the old question. Well, other than the assassination, Mrs. Lincoln, how was the play?
Right.
Yeah. And when you run into something like this, it can destroy the whole relationship. It isn't that, oh, gosh, well, this is a little quirk.
Yeah. I'm just wondering, if I did tell my cousin as well, would that be a bad thing, do you think?
I have no idea, dude. I don't know the situation. I don't know how fragile their marriage is. I don't know what she's aware of. I don't know if she's confronted him, too. I don't know how secretive he is about this. I don't know if she knows that he goes on the Internet, if he does, and pulls down all kinds of things. I don't know. But I think you do have every right to stop him from doing any of this again.
Okay. Yeah, yes, I know. I do. It's true.
And I would, and the other problem, of course, is children. That's big.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Good luck to you.
Thank you.
All right. Dear. Bye. You know, people put you in situations where you are forced to confront it head on. you don't want to necessarily, and you know there's going to be fallout, relationship fallout. And in situations like this, it wouldn't even shock me if family members took sides. I've seen it happen a lot, where somebody has had to say, this is way over the line, stop it. And then there is families who fracture. But sometimes you got to do the right thing and face the repercussions. And it doesn't mean you didn't do the right thing just because the repercussions were bad. Okay. Let's see. Well, let's go to Eric from Bryan, Texas. He's a little guy, a little over a year old. And he's anticipating already. He's saying, wait a minute. I don't want my son to grow up and do the things my wife and I did. Hi, Eric.
Hi, Doctor. How are you?
I've seen a lot of folks worry about the future, but I got to tell you, your nervousness about 20 years from now is a pretty good far into the future.
Yes, sir. I was never taught the, I was always told to say yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, yes, sir, no, sir, and I learned all that, and but I just was never taught, the other stuff. We never talked about, sex or anything and any of that stuff. And I just want to make sure that, we raise our kids to know the correct way to deal with stuff like that, according to, the church and everything.
Well, I almost didn't take your call, Eric. You know why?
Why?
Because you said that you wanted a book recommendation other than my own. What the heck kind of request is that?
Well, you've got a book that says don't listen to intellectuals or something like that.
Yeah, you're right there, but I never claimed to be an intellectual, so you could listen to me.
Hey, I am, trust me.
Okay, since I can't recommend my book, which is supposed to come out in January, it deals with, and I won't say it because I'm not supposed to recommend it, it deals with navigating this culture that is trying to shape your child in its image. And it does it through technology. It does it through entertainment. It does it through just warping morality. So, since I won't recommend the book, I would suggest this. The best thing I think you can do for your little guy is to work on keeping him innocent as long as you can, which means you definitely monitor all the stuff that comes at him via TV, via video games. You don't give him a smartphone when he's 9 years old. You don't do those things. And if you can homeschool, you homeschool. Because you want to slow down his pace of growing up so that your morals and your teaching will be the main thing in his life, as opposed to him getting misshaped by the culture. I think that's by far one of your best guarantees that he doesn't grow up as the culture says he should grow up when the culture says he should grow up. That'd be my suggestion. Now, there are a lot of books out there. I don't know their titles offhand. You'd have to do some search on that. You might want to check some of the Catholic publishers, Sophia Press, Ignatius Press, Catholic Answers Press. There's good stuff out there, so you can look into that. Now, none of it is good as mine, but I'm not allowed to recommend mine. That was your rule.
I'll check out the website in January. How about that?
I appreciate it, buddy. Now, and this was not a book recommendation. I just want to go on record as saying that.
Yes, sir.
877, thanks, Eric. 877-573-7825 is the number to call to get onto the program. This show goes too fast. Way too fast. I'm about halfway through this program already, and I have said nothing of substance. Feeling the pressure.
Woodstock. stopping you from becoming a Catholic?
Why can't women become priests?
I don't understand why I have to earn salvation.
How is it possible that God created everything?
Why do I need to confess my sins to a priest?
Why is the Catholic Church so unwilling to wreck?
The Catholic Church is too rich.
Catholics worship Mary and are committed.
As far as I'm concerned, all religions are equal.
You are called to communion with Dr. David Anders. Today, 2 p.m. Eastern, on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
If you believe in the power of prayer, Ave Maria Radio invites you to look at their website to submit a prayer request at AveMariaRadio.net. Your prayer requests are shared with hundreds at the Dominican Sisters of Mary, Mother of the Eucharist, the Servants of God's Love, the Monastery of the Blessed Sacrament Cloistered Nuns, the Family of Faith Apostolate, and the staff of Ave Maria Radio. Just go to AveMariaRadio.net and click on the Community tab to submit your prayer request today.
What is the origin of marriage? The Catholic Catechism tells us God the Father instituted the marital union with our first parents, Adam and Eve. He clearly established it as a covenant between a man and a woman when he commanded them to be fruitful and multiply. Moses allowed divorce because of the hardness of his people's hearts. But when Jesus came, he restored the original order as planned by his Father. He declared that a true marriage was indissoluble. What God hath joined together, let no man put asunder. The Church attaches great importance to the fact that Jesus' first miracle occurred at a wedding, signaling that henceforth marriage will be an efficacious sign of Christ's presence. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Dr. Ray Guarini, thanks for joining me here on The Doctor Is In, Monday through Friday, 1 o'clock Eastern Time. Also, the TV show Living Right with Dr. Ray, we just finished taping Season 9 on the EWTN Global Catholic Television Network, set to air without error sometime after the first of the year. So I'm excited about those. We did seven, the EWTN titled it Worth Another Look, which we cherry-picked some of the most popular spots from the earlier shows, most popular guests. But I wanted to say the least worst of Living Right with Dr. Ray, but EW10's too kind for that. So let's see what else we're going to do here. Cindy from Bismarck, North Dakota. The common phrase among some of us is that when we get frustrated, for example, I might say something like, you know, I went to that one chocolate place, and I wanted chocolate-covered marshmallows, the dark chocolate. They didn't have it. Oh, man. First world dilemma. Hi, Cindy.
Hi, Dr. Ray. Thanks for taking my call.
Well,
that's what
I get. Yeah. Well, you know the problem here, Cindy? The problem is you tend to get frustrated over that in your life, which up to that moment or at that moment is the worst frustration. In other words, someone who has had to deal with great tragedy generally will not get frustrated over the day-to-day junk. But if you don't have the day-to-day, if you don't have the great tragedy, and nobody wants it, then, in fact, you tend to focus on that which for the moment is the most frustrating thing. You know, you've seen Cindy, they'll come to work and, hey, how's your day? Not good. Not good at all. You know, not good at all. And then they'll tell you what made it a bad day, and you're thinking to yourself, really? Whoa. You had a flat tire. You ought to be grateful you have a car. You know, your back's bothering you. You ought to be grateful you can walk. I think, where did I talk about this? What book was it in? It was in Thinking Like Jesus. When I talked about my dad, my dad never complained. It was amazing. And I didn't realize that until I got older and recognized it, that Pop doesn't complain. When he was dying, when his heart was failing him, and I'd say, "Hey, Pop, how you feeling?" And he'd go, "Oh, I'm a little pooed." That was it. That was the extent of my dad complaining. And in the chapter, Cindy, I talked about how to put the day-to-day frustrations in context. Okay? Example. Toward the end of last softball season, I did something to my foot, trying to run too fast for my age. And it's been dogging me ever since. Every time I feel it, I tell myself, "Hey, I got legs. I can walk." I put it in context. You know what I mean? As if you say to yourself, "I got this terrible cold. Oh, geez, I feel terrible. They're awful." You can breathe. You can breathe. You put it in the larger context. You know, if my car gives me trouble and I have to take it into the shop, well, I got to remind myself, I got a car. I can drive. I can see to drive. It doesn't hurt me to get in and out of a car. I put it in context, because otherwise I only zero in on this momentary frustration that would be called a first world frustration. I don't know how clear that is, but it's helped me a lot.
Okay.
Well,
that's helpful.
I don't know if it's okay, because, you know, usually when I used to do secular media, if they wanted to slam you in your portrayal or whatever you did in your interview, they didn't tell you you stunk. They'd say things like, "Well, that went okay." That means you were terrible. Thanks, Cindy. Thanks for the call.
Thanks, Dr. A. All right. You're welcome.
Bye.
Bye.
Yeah, I'm going to try to squeeze this in, but I'll probably go past the break. Julia, I love that name, from Washington, has a 17-year-old son who has been plagued by kind of a broad-based sort of social, it sounds like social anxiety. Hi, Julia.
Hi, Dr. Ray. How you doing?
Okay. Has this been a long-standing temperamental style of your son? He's always kind of been this way?
Yeah. When he was an infant, he had breath-holding spells, turned purple-blue, passed out. I'd find him face down in the grass and on the carpet. Took him to the doctor so many times. They said, "Well, he comes to, he starts breathing when he comes to, right? Or after he passes out." And I said, "Well, yeah, but I mean, it's horrifying." And he said, "Well, he's fine then." And finally, I gave him iron. They call them breath holding spells. But I think there was a time where he was out for like 45 minutes and the ER kept strapping him down and giving him, you know, all kinds of, you know, medicine.
Wow.
They thought he was an epileptic. And I think during that time, maybe he had some, I don't know what happened during that time. But after I gave him iron, it did subside. During that time, since that time, he has very slow processing. So I can tell, I have six kids. He's number four. I can tell each of them the same thing. And he'll stand back and say, "What was that, Mom?" And it takes a lot longer. So right now he's 17. He's got an IEP for his anxiety. He didn't qualify for an IEP mentally because he was just right above. So we got that in order.
When you say right above, Julia, when you say right above, are you saying his IQ was slightly over 80?
What was his IQ? But he's on some stuff. He did French online. We've Catholic homeschooled. Go to daily mass, so he knows. Do family prayer time, rosary, chaplet, everything. He has a very great relationship with God. However, I am Italian, and I know, you know, I have a temper. So I told him what I do, because when he gets really anxious, it comes out in anger. He can't speak anything. So I say, God, give me grace. God, give me grace. God, give me grace. I say it over and over until I feel the grace. And I said, take that moment. And he's like, Mom, I can't do that. And it makes him angry. So we've been working on, okay, let's just breathe. And then we've been working through, like, his, you know, schoolwork the other night. He got so frustrated. And we just worked through all of it, you know, and just breathe. And, you know, so I would say the prayer out loud, God, give me grace. God, give me grace. He's the kid that stays after. We go to daily mass still. He's a junior in high school. He just started public school last spring. And as a sophomore, so this is public school.
Julia, I wanted you to just to give me the briefest of background here so I can have something to ponder and think through during the break, and then we'll come back on the other side of the break. So you stay right there. Don't go away.
Father Benedict Groeschel.
I want to welcome you, if you're not familiar, with the wonderful world of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. What will America become if it makes it impossible for the Holy Spirit to work here because of untruth and self-indulgence and paganism? This is not just a nice discussion of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, because I'm going to discuss what happens when people make it impossible to be prudent, just, or honest, or brave, or courageous, or reverent? When people make that impossible, what a terrible thing they do not only to themselves, but to our society.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Christ is the answer, with Father John Ricardo.
John 14. This is Jesus in the upper room with the disciples before he's going out to his sacrifice of himself for our salvation. And Philip says to the Lord, show us the Father and we'll be satisfied. Jesus looks at Philip and says, Philip, have I been with you all this time? Don't you understand? When you see me, you're looking at the Father. In fact, only two people throughout human history have given rise to the question, not who is he, but what is he? The two people are Buddha and Jesus. Buddha's answer was, don't come to me, don't look to me, look to my doctrine, look to what I teach. Jesus' answer was, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble of heart. Jesus is explicitly claiming to be God.
Dr. Ray Garindi, thanks for joining me here. I am talking to Julia. Julia has six children. Her number four son is 17. Julia thinks there's some history that occurred with this young man as he was growing up with some anoxia problems, lack of oxygen. And as a result, his IQ is 77. Now, in some states, to get an IEP for a developmental disability, your IQ has to be 80. In some states, it's 70. So with an IQ of 77, well, apparently in Washington, he doesn't get an IEP for that reason, but he also has an IEP for an emotional problem, which they've labeled as excessive anxiety. You still there, Julia?
I am.
All righty, dear. The question really is, how do you respond? And I'm not going to say, did you notice I didn't say respond best? Because that makes it sound like there is a formula that you have to use, and if you don't use it, you're going to be somewhat deficient as a loving mother. No. Mm-hmm. No, no, no. And I think you've worried about that enough in the 17 years that your son has been alive. Have you not?
I have.
I know. Let us look at what your son does, and we deal with it as best we can. Your judgment at the moment. You said something interesting. He gets frustrated, and he doesn't just get frustrated, he gets nasty, right?
He gets angry, and he's like, I don't know, I'm just, oh. And it
okay,
affects,
but does he hurt anybody? Does he get disrespectful?
Never.
Does he? Okay, so he just gets frustrated with himself.
Yes.
Okay, so he does get...
By taking it out on me sometimes.
That is not permitted, is it?
No, I say that is not okay, that it's not allowed. It is not allowed. We have to talk about it because he's very also sensitive and deep. So,
okay, I'm picking up something here, dear. I'm picking up something.
Go ahead.
Your concern about your son's particular needs, his particular special needs, may be hampering you, hindering you as a mom, because you said something. You said, no, I don't tolerate disrespect. I tell him. Now, or you say, God, give me grace, God, give me grace, God, give me grace. But in fact, dear, aren't you tolerating it? Because there's no consequences for it. He doesn't have to write an essay. He doesn't get grounded for 2 days. He doesn't have to do an hour's worth of labor. There's no consequences, right?
That's not true. He's so hard on himself that he at 17 will cry in his room without anyone knowing, because he feels like he has failed me then. And so I've tried yelling. I've tried spanking. I'm going to tell him, Mom, none of that has worked. So
well, yelling doesn't. Yelling doesn't, and spanking isn't not a 17-year-old. Okay.
No, that was in his younger years. But this is a kid that is very, very deep and very sensitive. So anything I say, he takes very deeply.
Here's what I'm hearing. I'm hearing that as you size up your son and you see him as a very faithful young man, you're really unsure how to deal with him. Because you view him as emotionally fragile, and as a result, he's not as sturdy, he's not as competent as your other kid, as you see it.
The lack of self-esteem is huge too.
I'm going to.
He wants to be normal, and he knows he's different.
Okay. So you got a lot of issues here, and I would shortchange you by simply saying, okay, Julia, here's what you do. No, that's your issues are much broader and much more complex. I have a book. It's called Good Discipline, Great Teens. It is 70 of the most common questions I get from parents in that age range from about 11 on up. A lot more material in there that I could give you now in a brief radio call. Okay?
Dr. Ray, are there any tools you could give me in that very moment other than teaching them to just give it to God and say, God, give me grace? Because that's the only thing that I know that actually works.
I would tell him to go to his room and calm himself down.
Okay.
You cannot sit here and get yourself so angry that you get nasty with me. And you said something interesting. I had a mother say to this to me once because she was told this by an expert. The kid would throw fits, which is what your son is doing. He's throwing frustrating fits. And you don't view it as really fits because you say, well, he's a sensitive kid and et cetera, et cetera. So you soften it up. But really, he gets nasty. So what happens then is the expert told the mother, when the child throws a fit, you don't need to do anything because he punishes himself. He feels terrible. And that's what you said about your son. You said he feels so bad about what he did. But if you notice, he feels bad, but he doesn't come and say, Mom, here's what I'm going to do because of what I did. I'm going to give you an hour's worth of labor. Or I'm going to, here, Mom, here's an apology I wrote to you. Or here, Mom, what can I do for you now because of what I did? He doesn't do that. He's frustrated with himself, but that in and of itself isn't necessarily a consequence.
Okay.
So I would suggest him, I tell him, you know what, son, you're 17 years old, and I know you get frustrated, and you can get frustrated all you want, that's fine, but you can't get nasty, and you're getting nasty, and you're big.
Yeah.
So next time it happens,
I've already told him all that.
All right. And the next time it happens, you're going straight to your room, and you will come out after you write me a 200-word apology.
He always comes and apologizes and gives me a hug, and he's like, Mom, I can't, I just feel it so much, I don't know what to do with it.
No, nah, see, you're bringing so many issues up, Julia, that I could deal with, but I got a lot of calls here. When a kid says this, and they always say this, not always, but many of them say this, I can't control myself. It just gets me. I can't do it. I don't want to do it. I don't want to stop. I can't help. Yeah, he can. He just doesn't get to the point where he works on it. And then he comes back and says he's sorry. And that's nice. That is nice. But, Julia, how would you like it if I yelled at you and my response to you was an hour later I came and said, Julia, I'm sorry. I really feel bad about doing that. I'm really sorry. And then tomorrow I did it again.
It's unacceptable. Yeah.
You wouldn't want me as a friend. Yeah, you wouldn't want me as a friend. All right, I got to run here. Thank you for the call. This is Dr. Ray. Be back.
Dr. Ray has more great advice soon. Don't go anywhere.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 10 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities. 4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan cost goes to your favorite pro-life charity. A video introduction is available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile, everyday living, effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
The EWTN home video highlight for December is the EWTN Family Christmas Special. The Choir of the Eternal Word Television Network performs classical Christmas carols with a special commentary by Father Joseph Mary Wolfe. Order your DVD or CD at EWTNRC.com 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, or call 1-800-854-6316.
I'm Dr. Stan Williams, and this is the logic of Catholicism. Solanus Casey said, appreciation is as necessary for social order and harmony as are the laws of gravity for the physical world. Once a woman said to me,
God doesn't exist. No one's ever seen him.
Where'd that come from?
What?
That thought.
That God doesn't exist?
Yes.
I just thought it.
Then it doesn't exist.
What doesn't exist?
Your thought, because I couldn't see it.
Come on, you know what I mean.
Well, I couldn't believe in a God I could see anyway.
Why not?
I want a real God that's capable of seeing everything, even into the future, and all at once. A God that's beyond this physical world and being seen.
Well, I admit that'd be a God to be appreciated.
And that's the logic of Catholicism. Explore more at AveMariaRadio.net. Under resources, look for me, Dr. Stan Williams.
No New Age stuff here. No, sir. Mostly middle age. Well, actually, not even. Post-middle age. You know how you know you're getting older? When most of your injuries come from sleeping. Get up in the morning. Man, I don't know what I did last night while I was sleeping. I just on my side here like this. Yeah, I used to hurt myself when I dove for a ball in the outfield. And then, not very much. Hurt for about 4 minutes. Now, it's like, oh, you know, honey, we gotta get a different mattress. I don't know what it is that's causing this. Or it's like this, you know? Okie dokie. Let's talk to Dylan from Missouri. He said he called the show some time ago. I think I remember. It was a Tuesday, 1:39, I think it was, when he called. Hi, Dylan.
That's right. Hi, how are you, sir?
That's good.
Right.
You
was right at the end of your show. And
see,
I was,
see that?
I was just done speaking to a church in Columbia, Missouri, actually, of all places.
You were speaking to a church?
I was speaking to a church.
What were you?
And, you know, it's so funny. I was listening in while I was kind of waiting on you to pick up the call. And Julia was actually kind of going to, hitting on what I kind of called in to tell. I know you replayed my call from Aubrey, from me talking about Aubrey earlier.
For those who don't know who I am, I'm a published author. I wrote a book called Nomad, and I also wrote a book called The Things That Make a Life, Lessons from My Father. I had a three-year-old who was killed by a heroin addict in 2016.
Yes, I do remember that now. Yes.
Yes, yes. So, I was listening to Julia speak, and, you know, this is what I talk about a lot. You know, her son is kind of at this crossroads, right, where he's kind of coming out of adolescence, and maybe he's understanding that the world isn't quite as beautiful as he was told as a child and whatnot. And if I can give her a piece of advice, pain is a human condition, right? And he wants to alleviate this pain. He's trying to figure out how to deal with this pain that is just now being thrown on him, coming out of adolescence. But to try to eliminate that pain, it only increases sensitivity to suffering. You're never going to get away from it, right? So the best way that I know how to do that is to try to make us suffer in a way that is productive, right? Because you have to have some pain in life, otherwise you don't appreciate the good. So maybe if he can channel that negative energy into something worthwhile, for instance, working outside, doing something around the house, you know, helping the elderly, putting more of himself toward others, he'll probably give back to himself in doing so.
That's a good suggestion, but she sounded like he does a lot of that. She kept saying that he was a very faithful young man. He's the one who stays after church. He's the one who has the soft heart. So the question becomes, Dylan, how does one convince him to do that?
Well, when you have that soft heart, you know, it causes you to see, you know, ghosts that others don't, right? It causes you to fear things that others don't because you know you're susceptible to it. I think this is a lot why these centennials need a safe space. You know, despite living in what is now really the greatest human society to ever exist, right?
You said centennials. You mean in 100-year-old people?
Oh, no. The centennial generation, those who came right around the turn of the century, 18-year-olds now. You know, they know really no world without technology. They don't know how to channel things properly. It could be a medical condition. He could have bipolar disorder. He could have something that, you know.
Yeah, and that's why I said it was a complex situation, incredibly complex, because the more she described it, the more there were wide range of struggles for this young man, and they'd been there for a long time. So to start peeling the onion back would be something that would take counseling for her predominantly on how to best deal with him. You know, well, Dylan, thank you for the call. I appreciate it, buddy. I appreciate it very much. Keep up the good work. Matthew, New Jersey, Matthew's gone? Okay, he had a son born on Thanksgiving, and I just had a grandson born on Thanksgiving, so that's kind of cool. He was requesting a book, but if he didn't stay, I've already recommended one of my books this show, so the rule is I can't recommend another one. This is going to be more complex, and I've got about a minute and a half. Anonymous caller from Ohio. She has a situation where her daughter is dating another woman. She's not sure how to handle this. Are you there, caller?
Yes, I'm here.
How old's your daughter?
She is 29.
She is living on her own?
She is, yes.
Okay. Has she had a history of being attracted to women, or no, this is something new?
She really didn't ever date much, and I had my suspicions, but I never asked. So about 9 months ago, the way she told me, it was a context of another story, and she said, and I'm dating this person, and it was a woman, so she didn't. But she did say that she believes that she could date a man or a woman, that it was just dependent on who she felt, you know, connected with. So she makes no difference between the two. So she's been dating this person for a while now. It's well over a year.
Have you met the person?
Yes, twice on, very briefly.
but I just
Your daughter doesn't come around with her.
No, she actually lives like a little about a half hour away. So a lot of times, she'll go visit her where she is, and also my daughter doesn't live with me. So, but no, she doesn't bring her around. And my struggle is I can't bring myself to ask her like, oh, what did you do this weekend, or how is she, or just anything about it.
About 10 seconds, dear. I'm going to have to. I'm sorry to cut you short. You call back. Treat her as you would your daughter, meaning treat your daughter as you would your daughter. Ask her the things you would ask her. Dr. Ray, out of time.
For information on Dr. Ray's presentations, books, and CDs, visit DRA.com and follow him on Facebook. The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.